Our first question comes from Shireen Williams. Go ahead, your line is open.
Coach Parcells, first of all, congratulations. And
thank you, Shireen.
My question is, when did you first start thinking about the Hall of Fame and what an honor it would be to one day go in there? And I'm also curious if you've ever toured the Hall of Fame and kind of what you thought.
Well, I think all of us that are in the business of football, and, you know, you're aspiring to try to eventually get to the top of your profession if you're able to. And, I don't think you ever kind of expect anything in this regard, but you know, you do think about it, particularly when you see, you know, some of your peers or guys you coached against and competed against, you know, and they're in there, then you think maybe someday there might be a possibility. So I would say, if you were asking me, I think probably maybe 10 years ago it first crossed my mind that maybe I might have a chance.
Can you tell me about the first time you toured the hall and just kind of your thoughts as you're going through there?
Well, actually, it was probably well over 20 years ago. And as a matter of fact, I think it was the 25th anniversary. And I had the opportunity to go through them quickly. And you know, you're just interested to see all the names of the people. And you know, some you certainly weren't aware of, but many you are aware of, or at least I was. So I think, you know, it's a good experience going through there, and particularly if you have the interest that I have in the subject matter.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Ira Kaufman. Your line is open.
Bill, congratulations on your honor.
Thank you very much.
Bill, I'm curious, do you have any indications, Bill, at this time, what the order of the speeches will be? And there's a rumor out there that you made that last here. That's not going to sit too well with your man, Warren Sapp. So, Bill, I'm just wondering if you know the order of the speeches.
I have no idea what the order of the speeches are. I haven't been told. I'm sure that the network will let me know, or the hall will let me know when I get there what's going on. But I know television is a big factor on this. So whatever it is, not going to bother me.
Bill, how emotional do you think the moment will be for you when it comes?
Well, I think probably a lot of the highest emotion was upon hearing my induction and about the voting this year. I'm happy that there are going to be a number of people that are very important to me that have a lot to do with me ever getting to this stage that are going to be able to be there. So, not everyone can be, but there are a lot of people that are awful important to me that are going to be there, and I think that'll be the emotional part for me.
Thank you, Bill.
Our next question comes from Mason Levinson. Your line is open.
Hey, Coach, congratulations, and thanks for the time. An NFL question. The NFL is going to mandate knee and thigh pads being used by players this season. I'm wondering, back in your Giants heyday, did players such as Lawrence Taylor use them or remove them? And if so, did that bother you as a coach that some of your players opted to play with padding?
It was a constant battle for me. I was always one that was very adamant about wearing pads, and I would find my players if they didn't wear them. Now, some of them, you know, got away with them or would take them and go out once the game started, and, you know, you're not thinking about those things when the game's going on, really. But I'm glad that that we are enforcing that, because I think the players sometimes don't know what's in their own best interest, and I think wearing proper equipment is definitely in their best interest. And I've seen many, many injuries in my experience that came when proper equipment was not worn and could have been prevented. So I am all for that 100%.
Do you remember which players you had to battle with the most on that, and did your fines ever work?
Mostly the cornerbacks. The cornerbacks and the receivers were the two positions that I found to be the most flagrant violators. And it's a coincidence that they're the furthest people from the ball. You know, you didn't usually have to worry about your linemen or a lot of your linebackers or any of the interior people. And even your running backs, you know, were pretty careful. But the people on the perimeter of the defense were the ones that I always had trouble with.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Bob Glauber. Your line is open.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, Bob.
I'm just curious to see what, when you look back, what you feel your best coaching job was, even if it might not have been in a championship season, and what one single memory stands out above all in your career?
Well, I don't know. I kind of think one of my better coaching jobs was with the New York Jets. We started off, we lost our quarterback. We started off, I think, 1-5 or 6, and we were able to eventually get to 8-8. And holding that team together to accomplish that, I think probably was one of the better things. Now, you know, that wasn't any monumental success or anything, but I think most coaches will tell you when you start 1-6, it's tough to maintain, you know, the things that you need to be successful. Single moment, Bob, those are hard. I had quite a few that are very memorable. If you pin me down, I would probably say the 90 championship game in San Francisco. You know, we were heavy underdogs there that day, and, you know, San Francisco was going for their three-peat. And, you know, we had lost our quarterback, Phil Sims, and we had Jeff Hostetler playing, who did a great job for us. And I think probably that, if you pin me down, was, you know, there were so many great players playing in that game, really, that's what makes it memorable to me. And as a matter of fact, that the referee, Jerry Markwright, told me in all the games he ever officiated, that was the greatest game he ever officiated. So that kind of stuck with me, too, that an official would view it that way as well.
Thank you. See you out there.
Okay, Bob.
Our next question comes from Bob McManaman. Go ahead, your line is open.
Coach, congratulations.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you along a similar vein, in terms of players, not reclamation projects, but is there one instance of a player you look back and say, you know, that kid got it. He went from this to that. I'm glad I was there to help. Is there one guy that maybe we don't know about that you feel good about changing?
Well, you know, that's hard. There are an awful lot of those guys that come to you and really don't have an understanding of what's going on exactly or what they need to do. I don't think I could pinpoint just one person that I could say, hey, you know, I feel strongly that I had I feel strongly I had a positive influence on quite a few players, but like just to single one out and say, hey, this guy, you know, I just, it's, it doesn't come to mind right now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from Ron Borges. Your line is open.
Hi, Bill. I'm just kind of wondering, when you first heard about getting into the Hall, did you think back at all to 1964 at Hastings College, wherever that was, and the guy you were then? I'm sure wasn't thinking, boy, down the road I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame. But did you think back at all to those sort of early days?
Absolutely, Ron, I did. As a matter of fact, the funny thing about that job, and coincidentally, the man who hired me, Dean Pryor, is going to be at the induction ceremony, and that makes me, that was my first coaching job, and he was the head coach, and he brought me to Hastings for just one season. It was kind of a part-time thing, and, you know, you learned an awful lot of things. You had to do things that you didn't consider, like we had to wash the players' uniforms after the practice. I had to do that some. But I will say this, and I'm going to say this in my speech. He taught me and he preached to me something that I carried with me my entire coaching career, and that is that the players deserve a chance to win, and you have an obligatory responsibility to try to give it to them. So that was a vital piece of information.
In your mind, what did that mean, or what does that mean? Giving them.
Well, that means that that you as a coach and staff, you as an individual coach, have a responsibility to try to give these players who are putting their, you know, themselves at risk and in harm's way to have a chance to achieve success. And that goes for universities and professional teams as well. And, you know, I think that I know I preach that to every organization and to every coach and staff I ever had. These guys deserve a chance to win, and we got to give it to them.
One last question. When you first got to New England as the head coach, did you have any idea how bad it was until you got there, or was it just sort of shock? I mean, you've said many times you could take archery practice in the stands, which was true. Were you shocked at how down it was?
I was a little bit surprised, not so much at what the attendance or that was, because I know Boston is in the New England are good sports fans. So, you know, I felt like if you could do something, they would come. And but the organization itself was in quite a bit of turmoil and flux and change, and that continued for a while until the present ownership got in place and then things settled down there for the better, obviously.
Great. Thanks, Bill.
Okay, Ron.
Our next question comes from Mike O'Hara. Your line is open.
Yeah, Coach, this kind of plays off of what Ron Borges just asked you, but you were at training camp with Detroit in 1964 as a draft pick. I wonder, after not making, what your aspirations then as a you know, young player out of college were in the pro game, and then how quickly you oriented yourself into a career in coaching when it didn't work out.
Well, you know, I think I've always been a pretty good self-evaluator in terms of what my chances were. You know, I think probably if I went back and did it over, I had a much better chance as a baseball prospect on the professional level than I did as a football prospect. And, you know, I was kind of the in-between size for the position I wound up playing. I wasn't overly big, certainly not overly fast, and I was just kind of an in-between guy that had played almost every position in football at one time or another. And so, I mean, I think I was versatile in that regard at a lower level, but when you had to get down and do something specific, consistently well, I just didn't have quite enough ability to do that.
And then when you moved on to coaching, was that hard to separate yourself from being one
no.
player?
No, that wasn't hard at all. I had, I think, very, very good coaching as a young man in high school. My high school coaches were, I think, very, very good quality people and coaches and teachers. And I think I was friendly and befriended those people and learned a lot from them. And it wasn't just at practice. I did things with those coaches when I was a young man, and they taught me a lot. And so I think I had an idea about the profession.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Joe Reedy. Your line is open.
Bill, just wondering if you've thought about your speech and if Mickey Corcoran's going to be your presenter.
Well, Mickey Corcoran's going to be there, but he's not going to be my presenter. George Martin is, my former Giant co-captain for 8 or 9 years. I have obviously thought about things I'm going to say. I haven't written anything down, nor probably will I write too much down. I'm just going to get up there and try to thank the people that had something to do with me being there and tell you just maybe one or two things about my experience as a coach and what are the important things that I got from that experience. So I think that'll be about it.
When do you think that it'll hit you that you're part of the hall? The group photo on Friday or the dinner Friday or maybe the induction?
You know, having been there last year as Curtis Martin's presenter was a very good experience for me because I kind of know the drill now and have the ability to anticipate things. I think the dinner will be pretty emotional because that's where I first felt a sense myself last year in presenting Curtis. I think that was the first time I said, hey, man, this is something important's happening here. And so I think that will be probably where it kind of dawns on me.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Todd Porter. Your line is open.
Bill, congratulations and welcome to Canton as sort of one of the second sons.
I did want to ask you,
it's been well documented how well you push buttons with players and you got them to, and you always knew the reaction most of the time before they even reacted to it. Where did that ability come from? Where did that ability to sort of be an amateur psychologist, if you will, come from within you?
Well, you know, I've had to answer this question many, many times. I would say this, that, you know, the ability to motivate someone is really a very, very much overrated thing, I think. I think it's impossible, as a matter of fact, to motivate someone who's not a self-starter in his own regard. So my job as a coach, assuming that they are interested in improving and developing their skills, was just trying to direct them. And, you know, you have all kinds of personalities that you have to deal with. Some are, you know, reclusive and don't talk much and are not communicative. And you have a little trouble figuring out what they're thinking, and you have to get to them and get them to explain and what's going on with them mentally. And then you have the others that are high strung and they're anxious and they waste a lot of energy doing something that's not important. And you have to recognize and appreciates different characteristics that people have before you can even go about trying to teach them. And I think, you know, I viewed myself as a teacher. I grew up in a family that was confrontational, and so I think I carried that some of that forward with me. But in the long run, I think pushing buttons, that I really am not sure what that means, other than, you know, you're trying to get people to do things that maybe they don't understand how to do exactly. And that's sometimes the hard part.
And Bill, when you guys get together, when you get together with old coaches or players, there's got to be at least one story that always gets retold when you guys are getting together that brings about a laugh of how you may have reacted to a guy. Is there one story that you always hear when you get together with the fellas?
Actually, you'd have to consult. I know there are many stories of which I am I could be the villain in a lot of those, but you'd have to talk to some of the players to get those, because there were a lot of things and there were a lot of fun times and things that they recognize and remember that I don't. You know, it was just one in a long series of things that happened, but to them, when they were involved, it was a little more vivid. So, you know, I don't think I can tell you, you know, anything specific, but there definitely are some.
Our next question comes from Omar Kelly. Your line is open.
Bill, how would you evaluate your Dolphins tenure? I mean, you've had such a long career with the Giants, Jets, Cowboys. How would you assess your Dolphins tenure and things that you're proud of and things that you might regret?
Oh, that's a very good question. I thought about it a lot. You know, when I came there, I really had to be talked into coming there, and I didn't anticipate obviously the ownership change. Not that I didn't get along with either of the owners that were there during my time, because I did. But I was trying to take young guys, first-time head coach, first-time GM, and then when you throw in a first-time owner, that's a difficult dynamic. And because everyone naturally so wants to put their own mark on their franchise, and they have every right to do that. So I would say, personnel-wise, I know our team was better than when I got there, when I left. When I left the Dolphins, we had a winning record. Now, I left in the very early in the third year, and we just beaten the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings on the road. And the Packers wound up winning the Super Bowl that year, if I'm not mistaken. So I think, you know, there were some things in place. But I think my leaving created a situation that was not good for the Dolphins retrospectively. I thought I was doing the right thing to let these guys go and take it on their own, but retrospectively, I don't think it was the right thing, because I just saw things happen that I know, and I'm not talking about the on-the-field stuff. I'm just talking about the political aspect. I saw things happen that, you know, I would have made every effort to try to avoid. So I would say it's just mixed reviews at best. I think the personnel was definitely better, but I can't prove it to you.
Yeah. How do you view Jeff Ireland's tenure in his offseason this year with the aggressive approach to free agency?
Well, I think, you know, they're trying to definitely improve the team, and I'm sure that everybody that's involved is in agreement with the course of action that they're taking. So hopefully it'll work out for them. And I think there's the opportunity for it to exist, because I think their division is such that they could be competitive and, you know, even maybe have a chance to win it. And so I'm hopeful that that goes well for him. I do have a high regard for Steve Ross. I like him very much. I talk to him from time to time, and I certainly wish him well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Rush, do we have time to take additional questions?
Yes, Julie, we'll take two more.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Todd Archer. Your line is open.
Hi, Bill. Congratulations.
Hey, Todd. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Hey, I'm wondering, you know, when you came to Dallas, I think a lot of people expected some fireworks between you and Jerry, and it never happened. Why did it work so well, even if you guys didn't get the playoff success you wanted, and why does it continue to work? Why does your relationship continue to work even now?
Well, I have a high regard for Jerry because he's a very straightforward, honest guy. He really is, and that's all I'm looking for. He was very supportive for me as a coach, and now, were there things going on that, you know, occasionally I didn't, you know, like? Yeah, there were, but that didn't inhibit me from going to him and talking things out, and he was always great about that. I really have a high regard for him. He has a tremendous passion for that franchise, and, you know, I think the people are lucky to have him, have an owner, because, you know, they're not all the same, I can tell you that. And having a guy like that and what he tries to do on a yearly basis there, I think is good. And as I said, he was very, very honest. And I know his benevolent side as well. I've seen an awful lot of that benevolence passed out to people, and you wonder why he's even doing it, but he doesn't. And that's something that I admire as well.
Earlier this offseason, you expressed regret about leaving New England when you did. Is there any regret looking back now on leaving the Cowboys when you did? Because you just got a quarterback in Romo, you just got in the playoffs, and I know it was a tough loss, obviously, but it seemed like you had a young team that was ascending. Was it difficult to end it?
I was at a different age. You know, to me, you know, I'm trying to win the championship. And, you know, when you lose like we lost that game, and, I'm down the road coaching-wise and age-wise and quite frankly, energy-wise at that time. And you start thinking about all the things you got to do to just get back to where you were that moment. Sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming. And so I just decided, you know what, that's enough, and I'm getting off the field, and this time I stayed off the field. Now, I still like football, I still watch with interest and all of those things, but, you know, yeah, there's still a, you know, I'm pretty close to a couple of guys that are still playing out there, and I've enjoyed some of their success, and I wish the Cowboys well. Jerry's been great.
It is special that you will see these guys here in Canada playing in the game. You see a Witten, a Ware, Romo.
Oh, yeah, Witten, yeah, hey, it's great. There's a few left, you know, that left. They still have my long snapper, do they not?
Yes, they do.
Madison, yeah, that's what I thought. So there's a few. I don't think there are too many left, but there's still a few, and I look forward to seeing them.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, Todd.
Our final question comes from Peter Schrager. Your line is open.
Congratulations, Coach. Question for you. If this is you had a chance to start your NFL team with any player you've ever seen, coached against, who would be that one player in NFL history you'd start your team with?
Oh, man. I've ever seen coached or coached against. Well, you know, there are priority positions in this game. And, you know, I think you know, quarterback is one of those, so I consider that, but if you're pinning me down, I'm a little prejudiced. I think I'd take Lawrence Taylor.
Nice. And is there a reason you'd take LT over some of the other guys in NFL history?
Yeah, there is, because I know he's going to be there every Sunday and try his best to win the game, for sure. I'm very prejudiced.
Do you know if Lawrence will be in Canton that weekend?
I don't know that, but I would expect he'll be around somewhere.
Okay. Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks, Coach, for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks to the media for taking
the
time.
All right, guys.
Well,
have a good one.